Good morning. I'm Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of our brother Jesus on this first Sunday after Christmas and at the eve of another new year. May our worship reflect our thanks for the blessings of the old year, but also our hope for God's promises in the new year. I extend a particular welcome to those of you who are worshiping with us this day by our live streamed or recorded worship. Time and distance separate us, and yet we are one by the power of the Holy Spirit as the body of Christ. Let us be that body of Christ up and about the business of God in the world, bringing love to every person. No matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. We have a few announcements we want to share with you this morning. As always, we thank our worship leaders for giving of their time and their energy and of their many gifts to help us make worship happen. And so we offer thanks to Tom Foster and Sarah Lynn Keller, to Sue Massioli and Wayne Zaretter, and also special thanks to Hank Zaretter and Randy Brewer and the staff at Pegasus Natick for their technical expertise that makes this worship possible. We have a time of lighting the Christ candle at the beginning of our worship. For the last several weeks, we've been lighting Advent candles, of course, and you're welcome to keep lighting Advent candles if you'd like, but we'll return to our usual practice of lighting the candle at the beginning of the service. And so we invite you to have at least one available for that time together. In our worship, we lift up prayer celebrations and concerns as we gather together as a community in prayer. And so we invite you to send us those prayer celebrations and or concerns. You can do that by emailing us now at prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. If we receive these by the time of the reflection, we should be able to incorporate them into our morning's prayer. So we invite you to do that. Again, it's prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. And as usual, we will have a post-worship fellowship time via Zoom video conferencing, roughly from 11:30 to 12:30 today. This is an informal time to be together, to share what's going on in our lives, sometimes to talk about the worship service, but most frequently, just to be with one another and spend some time. So we hope that you will do that. There are links to that post-worship fellowship time in the bulletin and also in the weekly emailing that would have went out on Friday or on perhaps this morning. You can also find it on our church's website at www.firstchurchnatick.org. Sarah Lynn, I think you have at least a couple of announcements this morning.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. So Jonathan will be on a well-deserved vacation for the next 2 weeks, and so we want to alert you that if you are in need of pastoral care, please contact the church office at admin@firstchurchnatick.org, or you can contact me if the office isn't open at sarahlynn@firstchurchnatick.org, and you will be contacted by Tiffany Spigarolo this week, and next week, John Wegraff will be covering our pastoral care needs. We also want to invite you to join us for the Midweek Connection in Prayer. That's on Wednesday at noon. This week, there is a revised Zoom link because Jonathan is on vacation and I will be starting that connection to Zoom. So look for the connection, look for that Zoom connection in this week's link or on our church website. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Let us now light our candles together, remembering as we receive the light of the Spirit that we are the light of the world, called to make that light shine forth in every beshadowed corner where the light of God is most needed. People of God, receive this light and reflect it well. In our Advent and Christmas seasons, we have awaited the arrival of Emmanuel, God with us. We have rejoiced in the arrival of the baby Jesus and of God in the world. And now to us in our day, we must ask, how will we receive the light and love of the one who lived among us? Because the baby grew up and became one who taught and demonstrated the way of light and love. As the clouds begin to clear, the horizon starts to glow. The time has come. So help us, Holy One, to continue to proclaim far and wide that the time has come for light to be among all people and for us to be witnesses to and ambassadors of your light. We come to a time now, a final time in this season, of lifting up a song that we have sung throughout the Advent and Christmas season. And so I'm going to lead us in that a cappella today. Special thanks to Beth Canterbury, who's been helping us lead that. She's off today as a treat to her as well. So I will attempt this, but I'll sing it one time through, and then I invite you to sing along with me the same verse again. I believe in the Son. I believe in the Son, even when it's not shining. I believe in the Son. I believe in the Son, even when it's not shining.
Please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, Holy Child of Bethlehem, come to us. We open wide the doors of our hearts. Come, fill us with a joy that knows no boundaries. Come, fill us with a light that brightens every corner of darkness. Holy Child of Bethlehem, come to us again. Lift us from the routine into the splendor of your holiness. Carry us away from the extravagant into the simple wonder of your birth. Holy Child of Bethlehem, come to us. Be born in us, even now. Amen.
I invite us now to share the peace of Christ reaching out our hands in a gesture of blessing, placing our hands perhaps over our hearts with the intention of opening ourselves to God's peace and meeting the spirits of others with our peace, or offering the word namaste with a bow that conveys the sense that the divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
So we come to a time now of offering gifts, and that's appropriate in every season, and in particular in the Christmas season, a time when we remember the blessings that we have, the many gifts and abilities that we've received from a loving God. And we recognize the fact that we can use some of those resources to help advance God's mission in the world. And so that's what we're called to do as a church. And that's why we invite your participation in the life of the church, its ministry, and also your financial support of the programs and ministries and staff of the church as well. And so we invite you to continue to be generous in this time. We're not passing an offering plate, but there are ways for you to contribute financially. You can do that by check, by mailing it to the church's office, or you could also make a contribution online on our website at www.firstchurchnatick.org. Freely we have received, freely let us give. Let our light so shine before humankind that all may see our good works and glorify our loving God. Please pray with me. God of all things new, in the birth of Christ Jesus, you broke into the sin and darkness of this world with new light and with righteousness for the souls of humankind. And so we offer these gifts to you with our prayer that new life and love and peace and joy may become the lived reality for all people on earth. Amen.
The scripture reading today comes from the books of Galatians and Matthew. Beginning in the letter to the church in Galatia, chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. And continuing in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 through 40. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you that are blessed by my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Here ends the reading for today.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Where do we go after Christmas? Where do we go after the birth of the child and the arrival of the shepherds and of the angels? After all the glorias are sung? After we've made merry, after we've received our gifts? On this first Sunday after Christmas, the lectionary has us keep telling the story, which is found in the Gospel of Luke, Luke's story of Jesus. And what do we find next? We find that Jesus is presented in the temple as a baby, as was customary in his time. And he's heralded there by two prophets who proclaim him to be the promised Messiah. It reminds us that the child will grow up. And as we heard in today's reading from Galatians, that baby will be the one whose life and teachings will mean that we will know ourselves to be children of God too. Prompted to cry out to God as a heavenly father with this Hebrew word Abba, which literally means daddy, children and spiritual heirs of an inheritance of love. An inheritance of acceptance. What does it mean to be such heirs? How do we live then? Well, I think that that's what we're supposed to ponder the rest of the year, really. To begin that, today I want to offer a short story for Christmas, written by English novelist, short story writer, and children's book author Jill Peyton Walsh. It's a story that she wrote and self-published, originally meant as a Christmas gift, in 1997 from her and from her husband, another children's writer, John Rowe Townsend, to friends and acquaintances. It came to me by way of my mother-in-law, who was a children's book reviewer and professor of children's literature, and who was also a friend and acquaintance of Jill Peyton Walsh. I also offer it in dedication to Jill Peyton Walsh. She died this year in October. So we remember her. Wonderful storyteller. And I pass this on to you as a kind of Christmas gift, and by way of having us ponder afresh how we receive this story. So it's a story that's titled The Fourth King. The Fourth King. And it goes like this. There were four kings, really. Did you know that? Four who set out? Only three arrived, of course. And so only three are in the story. Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar are the famous ones. They saw the star in the firmament, and they read its secret meaning. Then they assembled their caravans in the market square of their native city, ready for the journey into the far west that they had decided to make. How could there be so many as three kings, never mind four, in a single city, do you ask? Well, the country they came from was one most unlike ours, where the title to kingship was won by wisdom. It was wisdom that was given respect and honor. Theirs was not quite the only city in the history of the world with as many as four wise men in it. And in their own language, these kings were called magi. As I was telling you, the caravans of the kings assembled in the marketplace, and along with our famous three, there was a modest caravan belonging to a mage called Amir Pazan, who had the title of a king or mage by courtesy, because he was a simpleton. Before you smile at ancient superstitions, remember that there have been many peoples then and since who cannot tell the difference between wisdom and folly. I carry a gift of gold to the child who is truly a king, said Balthazar to the crowd. And I a gift of frankincense to a child who is truly a god, said Caspar. And I a gift of myrrh to one who has much to suffer, said Melchior. And Amir Pazan looked puzzled and held his tongue. Away went the camel trains and the caparisoned horses and the masters and men to outbursts of cheering and well-wishing from the citizenry. The star the travelers were resolved to follow shone so brightly you could see it long before nightfall. You could see it in the fullness of day. But Amir Pazan turned back at the gates and went home to ask his mother what gift he should take to the one who was truly a child, and a newborn child at that. So Amir Pazan's mother bustled about, and his sisters and maidservants bustled about, and they assembled swaddling bands and cot blankets and a little cane rattle containing a silver bell which had belonged to Amir Pazan himself long ago. And his very smallest sister insisted on sending a little clay doll with a chipped nose. What would a child like to eat? Asked Amir Pazan. Let's take him something to eat. You feed an infant by feeding its mother, said Amir Pazan's sister. And they bustled about again and brought cheeses and dates and pomegranates and apricots and almonds and a haunch of smoked and salted goat. All this took time, as you can easily imagine. And when Amir Pazan got on the road again, the others were far, far ahead and out of sight. He was not such a good astronomer as Caspar, and not such a good commander as Balthazar, and not such a good prophet as Melchior. And it was getting dark. And in those long ago velvet skies, a million, million stars were all shining at once. Which was the one that should lead the way? In short, He got lost. Not so lost as he might have been. He found his way into distant Judah, and he found a family with a newborn child frozen and starving and sheltering and a cow buyer, and he gave them all he had brought. Meanwhile, the others, as you know, crossed moor and mountain, field and fountain, arrived at the palace of King Herod and asked for the newborn king, casting the court into consternation. As you know, they withdrew and found their own way by the light of their star to Bethlehem. And there was a newborn child to whom they presented their gifts. I would not like you to think they forgot all about a mere pezan. They posted rear guards all the way to look out for him. They left messages at inns and waymarks every mile of the journey. And they became more worried yet when they had seen Herod. It did not need an angel to warn them about him in a dream. They could see very well what sort of king he was. Not their kind, the kind we are more familiar with. They were afraid that a mere pezan would stumble into some sort of trouble there. They went so far as to leave a servant lurking at the gates of Herod's palace to intercept a mere pezan if he ever got there. I need hardly tell you that he did not. After 5 days, the servant came away and caught up with his masters just as they crossed back into their own country. The whole way there and the whole way back, although they asked for news of him at every stop of the journey, the famous three could find no trace of the fourth king. It was as if he had never existed. And indeed, the simplest explanation was the thought that perhaps he had never set out. They hoped that was so. He would be safe at home. You can imagine with what delight they regained their native city. After months on the road, they were grimy and disheveled from traveling and skinny from eating meanly on the way and stiff from sleeping in chilly lodgings and freezing in the saddles. And their minds were running on feasts and baths and the spring creeping into their gardens and the embraces of their wives and daughters. They were very satisfied with themselves, for they had made and survived a heroic journey, outwitted a wicked enemy, and given their visionary gifts. All was accomplished. The fame of what they had done would be written in a holy book and would last for better than 1,000 years. And the people flocked to greet them and to praise them. And in the midst of all the hullabaloo and unburdening of beast and the cacophony of shouted news, here suddenly came a mere pezan's train into the square, as dusty and flagging as any of them and as ragged as all the rest. So the three kings and their numerous servants surrounded a mere pezan and his few and embraced them and questioned them. "Where were you?" they asked. And they learned that a mere pezan had reached the land of Judah and found a child lying in a mistal and given food and clothing, and they were more puzzled than ever. "But we did not see you there," they said. Melchior said, "Friend, I am afraid you followed the wrong star." Caspar said, "I am afraid you did not give the right gifts." Balthasar said, "We are afraid, brother, that you found the wrong child." And Amir Pazan answered them, "I cannot have followed the wrong star," he said, "for although it was fitful and wavering and often very dim, it was my own inner light that led me. I cannot have given the wrong gifts because there was hunger and I brought food, cold and I brought warm garments. I cannot have found the wrong child because there is no such thing as a wrong child. And now I have a question for you in my turn. Did we have to go into a distant land to find a stable in which the poor were hungry and sheltering from cold in the breath of the beasts? Were there no such stables near at hand? Balthazar said, "The child we saw and worshipped will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. There has not been and will not be any other like him until the end of time." And Amir Pazan said, "I dreamed of such a one as that. I slept on the seventh night of my journey. I saw the Mighty Counselor walking as a young man on the mountainside and teaching. In my dream, he said, 'What you do to the least of my brethren, you do to me.' So I searched no further than the next village I came to, and there I found the stable and the family I told you of." Then Balthazar and Caspar and Melchior were abashed. They sent out into the countryside all around the city with gifts of food and fire for the cold and for the hungry. And although Amir Pazan did not get into the eternal story, while he lived and in his own city, he was the best loved of the wise. And somehow, he never remembered to mention to the others that the child he had succored in that far distant country was a girl. So I hope you like that story. One of the things that I like about that story so much is that it highlights a contrast. It highlights a contrast between the wisdom of the wise and the seeming foolishness of those who follow in the way of Jesus Christ. The three kings who we remember, though in truth, nowhere in scriptures does it say that there were three kings. Nowhere there does it say that their names were Caspar and Melchior and Balthazar, but we remember it that way because those are our traditions added on to scripture. The three kings who we remember are so sure that the star that they follow and what gifts to bring to the one who that star heralds as a noble birth. They are so sure of those things. And they return home, sort of mission accomplished, feeling very satisfied with themselves. But the forgotten one, Amir Pazan, is puzzled about their gifts from the beginning. And the experts who he knows and consults with help him to choose gifts really fit for a baby. Swaddling clothes and cot blankets and food and Amir Pazan's rattle and his little sister's chipped nose clay doll. But what does he hear when he returns? "You followed the wrong star, you gave the wrong gifts, you found the wrong child." Certainly, Amir Pazan was a simpleton. He was a fool. But his response, following Jesus' words, the dream that he has, guide him. May guide him to remember the least among us, who are members of Jesus' own family. To follow that guidance as if it were a beacon of a kind of inner light, to consider the needs of others carefully and make gifts that are suited to them, to remember above all that there is no such thing as a wrong child. How could there be? How could there be when we are all children and heirs of the living God? In this Christmas season and every other blessed day of our lives, may we receive that gift with thanksgiving. And in our thanks, hold the wisdom that there are no wrong children. And while looking to the wider world for the needs that exist there, yet to remember also to look close at hand, to care for the least and the most vulnerable among us, that they too might know the blessing of being beloved children of the living God. By the power of our loving God, may we be agents in the world, making that message known well. Amen. We come to a time now of lifting up prayer concerns of celebrations, a time of being in prayer with one another. And I would note the fact that we are coming up on the eve of another new year. This has been a year like no other for most of us. This has been a year of so many uncertainties and so many things that have challenged us in our thinking, in our being, so many things that have happened to us that maybe have changed us in ways we don't even know yet, so many things that we've experienced together and yet we have often been on our own and separate. So many challenges and yet some blessings found among those as well. And so we lift all of that up at this time of year. Wayne, I ask you now if there are other celebrations or concerns that have come to us before or following our worship this day.
Good morning. Prayers of healing go out to Lane McDonough's Aunt Eleanor, who is recovering from surgery. Prayers for continued strength and safety for those frontline workers, first responders, and the supportive families dealing with the ongoing challenges presented by the pandemic. Prayers of love and care for those who have empty chairs at their holiday tables this year. Prayers of support for those dealing with economic setbacks brought on by the current crisis. May they know that they are not alone. Lastly, prayers of safe travel go out to our son Mark, Alicia, and Liam as they make the journey home cross-country from Denver to Cambridge, Massachusetts. Thank you.
Thank you, Wayne. So I invite us to be in a spirit of prayer together. Let us pray. Eternal God, you are the sovereign Lord of all our beginnings and of all of our endings. And so today, you place in our hands an entire year, like a precious book of fine new pages that is ready for us to create the story of 2021. Last year's tattered pages are already bound between the covers of memory. So we ask you, Holy One, to help us to put the year on the shelf gracefully, to remember, but also not to dwell too much on either its successes or its setbacks. Prepare us to welcome without fear the new year that's prepared for us. Give us courage to face the unknown challenges ahead. Help us to learn from the mistakes that we've made in the past. Help us to forgive ourselves, that we may go on to write new chapters with confidence. Above all, help us to rely on you, knowing that you will lead us into lands of promise, into times of plenty, and into times of shalom. Strengthen us in every good and worthy resolve this year, shaping our conduct more and more in the image of your compassion, in the image of your integrity. Give us the wisdom that we need to fulfill our callings in our places of employment, in our schools, in our communities, in our homes, If we are presented with new opportunities, lead us, Holy One, to make choices based on the values we learn from you, rather than on the misshapen truths of the marketplace. If we seem to have no choices at all, then protect us. Protect us from desperation. And help us hold still and listen to your voice. Bless those with whom we share our lives and homes, that together we may grow in love and faithfulness. Keep us secure in your peace. For Jesus' sake, the one who taught us to look to you in every new day and to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We believe in the Son. We believe in the Son, even when it's not shining. Rejoice, beloved, the sun is shining. Beloved, go out into the new year, knowing that God goes before you and with you and within you, ordering and reordering all things, whatever they be, according to eternal and loving attention. And as you do, may the blessing of the God of endings and new beginnings, the God of times past and present and future, of hope and promise, be upon all of us. Go now in the peace of Christ. Amen.